Let's go, Rider Nation. I'm ready.
Welcome to another exciting episode of the Piffles Podcast, your Saskatchewan. Well, is it going to be exciting?
We're going to start on a lull. I will admit, we're going to start on a lull, but we're going to pick it right back up, I think.
That's the spirit.
And I think that's about it. Yeah, back to the lull. Your Saskatchewan Rough Riders fan podcast. Has this show ever been exciting? I don't know. I've only done it 263 previous times.
One day we'll get it right.
One day. It's coming, I swear. It might be this one. Who knows? Probably not. Now that everybody left, this show's going to suck. Your Saskatchewan Rough Riders fan podcast. Thanks so much for joining us here this week. As always, you got me. I'm Alex.
I'm Steve.
And for once, I will be saying I am Greg, because I am going to show honor to the man we're about to talk to. So I will be myself tonight.
Yes, we took last week off. Of course, that's when some big news happened. We're going to talk about that here in just a minute. Piffles Podcast, of course, brought to you by our great friends at Dairy Queen on Elphinstone Street and Sass Drive in Regina. Now that it's not quite summer, but it's pretty nice.
It's always blizzard season.
It's like especially blizzard season right now.
Once we've gotten out of winter blizzard season, it's time for summer blizzard season.
Yeah, exactly.
Essentially, yes.
Yeah. So go get yourself a blizzard. Thanks for listening on your favorite podcast platform, watching on YouTube or Sastel Max TV on demand. We appreciate it. You can give us a follow on social media. We're at Facebook. We're on X at Piffles Pod. I'm at Real Alex D.
I'm at Safamod.
And as always, I do not need nor want your pity follows at Greg on Sports.
Well, we have a lot to talk about, and we'll do so right off the bat with some heavy hearts. It's time for the opening kickoff. So we'll start off this episode. This one's for Jim. Last Tuesday, we didn't find out until Wednesday morning, but Tuesday, former Riders president and CEO Jim Hobson passed away at the age of 73. Of course, battling stage 4 colon cancer since April of 2021. And earlier this year, he made the decision to stop doing chemotherapy treatments and enjoy the time that he had left. And he fought as long as he could. And it's tough. It's tough to do one of these, right? Because cancer affects so many people. Everybody knows somebody, right? So just want to say, like, Jim Hobson, what a great man he was. Everything you saw about him with the big giant... I'll never forget the big giant smile that he always had. That was genuine. And that was the best part about Jim Hobson, was that he was a very genuine person. And up until now, really, he was still in good spirits, still had, the love of life. You go back to the interview that I did with him in January, the last time that I spoke to him. He was happy. He was in a good mood. He was at peace with things, but you could still hear that, not excitement in his voice, but the cheer in his voice. That's who he was. And the Saskatchewan Rough Rider organization and Saskatchewan in general lost a great man last week.
And you're correct. Like, Jim, very genuine person with everyone he interacted. He was very good, especially when he was the president and CEO, of interacting with the fans. But he was also really good at the business of football as well. He just wasn't the happy-go-lucky Jim that many people saw, but there was a reason why the CFL had him on their negotiation committee with the CFLPA. Like, he was a true businessman, but still had that public persona of approachable. He wasn't aloof. He wasn't, didn't seem angry. He didn't seem that fans were taking up his time. He was genuinely excited to talk to every fan of what made them a fan. And that is why I believe the team did so well underneath his leadership, because it's what made Rider Nation great.
It's really weird to think what doesn't happen if Jim Hobson doesn't take over this team back in the early 2000s. We don't go through this complete upheaval and successful era that this current generation, you know, we got to see that greatest era of Rider football. We don't have a stadium. Hell, I don't think this show exists if Jim Hobson doesn't take over the team. He instilled an entire generation of Rider Nation with a newfound love for Saskatchewan football that had dwindled in years past. I mean, you look at four Grey Cups in his tenure, or four Grey Cup trips, two we won't talk about, but you take everything about the guy off the field, on the field, and in that organization, he changed the game for this province. And when I went to sit down to record today, I specifically rocked the Rider retros that Jim would have worn during his playing career as an honor to him. He deserves it. He deserves every good word he's had spoken about him over the last week, and honestly over the last 6 months and his entire life.
Well, you look at it, and it was like, people kind of forget, like, yeah, the last couple of years have not been great, but that tenure of when he was president and CEO is the greatest tenure in Rider football.
And it's not even like close. I
said, everyone wants to romanticize the George and Ronnie days, and yes, those were good as well, but the team was the most successful both on and off the field under the leadership of Jim Hobson. Like, say what you want about Craig Reynolds, he unfortunately came into a situation where no matter what he did, he was going to be behind the eight ball.
You have to follow that.
Yeah, exactly. Like, He just came behind, like, the somehow the opening band became behind the, like, the main event, and now he's like, now what do I do? And that's what it is. Like,
what, and you look at Rider Nation, they're disappointed over the last couple of years, and that disappointment stems from such a long stretch of success, and that all comes back to the Hobson era, and he took us from a team that was on the brink of folding. And I don't want to hear that it was never going to happen. It was close time and time again to a team that is honestly the pinnacle of the CFL when it comes to financial success. And again, that's Jim Hobson. He is the number one guy you look at and go, we can pin most of this on him.
The Riders were at one point everyone's second favorite team because we were the lovable losers.
Yeah.
Like, yep. Like, they try hard and they play well, but they're never going to win a Grey Cup.
It's like Hamilton now.
Exactly. And now everyone don't hate us as much, but now everyone hates Winnipeg because they're Winnipeg. But I guarantee you, we're not everyone's favorite second team anymore. So.
No. He told me in the interview that I had with him, when he took the job, one of the very first things he sat down with the board and said, we're going to win Grey Cups. We're going to challenge for Grey Cups, and we're going to win multiple Grey Cups. And they laughed at him because that never happened here. They had two up until that point. And he delivered within a matter of a couple of years of taking over. He took over in, what was it, 2005? So a couple of years later, we have the 2007 season. And then we have the greatest year in Rider history, the greatest game in Rider history, 2013, the Grey Cup at home. And that doesn't happen without Jim Hobson. And the vision that he had, and talking marketing and bringing the Riders to where they are. We joke about how you could slap a Rider logo on anything and people will buy it. But that was a Jim thing, right? Like, that was a Jim Hobson thing. Put the Rider logo on everything. People will buy it. It brought a sense of community. And I think we talk about legacy, about the stadium, about the era of, you know, winning and being a successful team and going from being the lovable losers to being a team that can compete often, I think his legacy really is that he made this team a provincial team again, made it really feel like the Saskatchewan Rough Riders. And that's it. It's a place they're not at right now. I see this team as kind of the Saskatchewan Rough Riders. They're doing better now of getting back out to different communities, but they're very, very Regina oriented. I get it, 'cause that's where they play, obviously, but it felt like when Jim Hobson was here, it was Saskatchewan's team.
But even though the Riders are more Regina focused right now, it's not the same. I remember game days during that Hobson era, green everywhere.
You knew when it was game day.
You knew it was game day. You stores, restaurants, whatever, their servers were wearing Rider gear, green, whatever, because it was Rider game day. That it's not there anymore. It's you can drive down like Labor Day during the Hobson era. There's Bomber fans walking up and down the street. There's Rider fans walking up and down the street, horns honking. You don't see that anymore. It feels like it's not the same passion as it was during, I guess, the like we said, the greatest era of Rider football.
So you look at his tenure, the 10 years of running the Riders, the greatest era of all time. And I mean, good that he could choose his successor, which he did with Craig Reynolds, and the team still had, you know, after a couple, you know, poor seasons in 2015, 2016, still had that, you know, really good off the field image, that the money was still rolling in. First place finish in 2019, get to the West Final in 2021. But even then, with two very, very good years, didn't feel like it ever did in that era. It never felt like going to a game was a must, right? Like, I enjoy going to the games. I love going to games. But it didn't feel like it did back in Jim's era. Maybe that's a nostalgia thing of me thinking of Taylor Field, and Mosaic Stadium just isn't the same. Maybe that's part of it for me, but
thanks, Jim.
Yeah, but that was a Rider game was a must see event.
Yep.
It had to be. And now
you could feel it in the community. Like Greg said, it wasn't just the fans. It was the city wanted to be there. The city wanted to be involved in Rider Nation. Now, 25,000 fans are going there, but do they want to be there? You're right. It's a whole different atmosphere when you walk into a game at Mosaic Stadium versus Taylor Field. And in that stretch,
I was working in Estevan in 2013. Driving back for Rider game days was taking your life in your hands. That highway, it was like a movie race. It was just people passing each other trying to get lane. I can tell you guys stories, and I'll tell you off air because I can't curse, like, say the stories about cursing because of some of the things that happened. But like, that's what it was like. People wanted to be in the stadium in that era, and that is something that Jim Hobson, I don't even know how he created. Well, I know part of the reason how he created it is he got rid of blackouts. He made the games available, so when people watched on TV, there was no local blackout anymore. So they're going, that looks fun. We're within driving distance, or we live in the city. Why aren't we going to this? Like, as good as the Rider radio broadcasts could be in that era, it's not the same as being there live or even seeing it on TV. And Jim realized if people see how much fun it is, they want to be a part of it. And it was almost blasphemous when he said, no, we're getting rid of the blackouts. Everyone's like, well, you're just going to lose money, because who's going to want to come to the stadium? He showed them. Everybody.
You remember waiting lists for season tickets? That was fun. You don't see that anymore. Now they're basically begging people to get tickets again.
Yeah. So you look at his legacy, Steve, you mentioned that that new stadium, that's not there without him. It's not. It really isn't.
Literally the house that Jim built.
Yeah. And we were really, really hoping he could get there for the at least the preseason game. But I know that there'll be a great, great tribute to him in stadium. I know they'll do something absolutely wonderful for him and his family. So I'm looking forward to seeing that, because we don't congregate there without him. So there's going to be a celebration of life at the Kinexus Art Center in Regina on May the 3rd. Hoping I can get to that. I'm sure there'll be plenty of green jerseys, green retro jerseys like the one you're wearing, Steve, because they'll probably ask people to wear their jerseys. And I'm sure we'll hear some great Jim Hopson stories. I hope someone brings up the fact that he skipped out on Mick Jagger's after party, because that's
I
just,
still can't. I can't believe that. You go. I'm sorry. You go.
And you can tell what kind of effect you've had on a city, on a province, on honestly an entire football league, if your celebration of life is being held at the Center of the Arts or the Kinexus Arts Center. That says a lot about Jim and how many people they expect want to pay their respects to the man.
Yeah. And even the respect he got from the other teams in this league,
yes,
who made sure to honor his memory. That tells you how important he was, not just to the Riders, but to the entire league.
And it just goes to show how great it was that the team was able to have him and his family in stadium to when they renamed the team auditorium after Jim. So to have him there for the ceremony and his family to see that and to see him witness it is a really special memory that I know they'll carry around for a long, long time.
And you know how important, yeah, but you know how important it was to the Riders that they actually fixed the A before they renamed it for him.
Well, they did it in time, I guess.
Can't do it for the head coach, but they made sure to do it for Jim Hopson. That tells you how important he was to the team.
Damn straight, you do it for Jim. But I know Jim would like us to continue talking about the Riders, the team that he grew up idolizing, playing for, and then running. So that's exactly what we'll do, is we'll keep talking some Rider talk. So
to Jim
and F cancer.
Yeah, that too.
So other Rider news, we'll talk a little bit Rider news in the Churchill Brewing Company odds and end zones in a little bit. But okay, we'll get this out of the way. So we're recording on Tuesday night. You're probably going to hear this on Wednesday. Wednesday afternoon, the team and CKRM are going to announce.
Yeah. Spoiler alert.
Yeah. If you don't want to know who the voice of the team, the voice of the Riders is going to be, maybe mute us for a minute here.
We might sound better if you do that too.
Media in Saskatchewan is a funny thing because nobody knows how to shut up. I know
this is the world's worst kept secret. This is a world, like, everyone knows this is not a shock, especially when you got a guy who owns a Facebook group thinking he's breaking stories when everyone knew weeks before he decided to put it out there.
So the voice of the Riders is going to be named on Wednesday, and that name will be, can we get a drum roll, please? No.
Is that better?
Thank you. Yes. Great. Same wavelength there. Dave Thomas, Saskatoon Radio. Did the Hilltops broadcast, did U Sports, Canada West football. Yeah, you're already not a fan of him just because of the Hilltops thing.
I'm actually a Dave Thomas fan. He's very good at what he does. He just did it for a very bad team.
Yeah, not the burger guy. It's the other Dave Thomas.
And not the
SCTV, and it's
strange,
guy.
But yeah, not Strange Brew either. But
what a great movie. I remember when my wife and I, we first started dating, I don't think she ever saw Strange Brew before. So we watched it. And then later on, weeks later, whatever, we were going to play a drinking game. Take a shot every time they said take off, or hoser. And we didn't last too terribly long in that movie before we had to just like go to sleep because we were going to pass out.
Best version of Hamlet you'll ever watch.
Great movie. Fantastic.
If you like Shakespeare, watch Strange Brew because it's Hamlet.
It really is. So Dave Thomas going to be announced as the voice of the Riders on Wednesday. I wish I knew more about him. I really don't, but everything I've heard about him has been glowing. Like, he's getting great comments from everybody I've talked to. And I'm looking forward to seeing where he can take this position and what he can make out of it.
Like I said, Dave's a very accomplished play-by-play guy, does very good work for the Huskies and the Hilltops. And rumor is he was second to the previously unnamed play-by-play guy when they chose last time. So he was in the hunt last time. So he was obviously been on their radar for a while. And by the sounds of it, this wasn't even a hiring process as much as it was a headhunting mission. So they were going to get Dave in that booth. So they got their guy, and I think they made a good choice.
I listened to, I think it was on riderfans.com, somebody posted a little clip of his play-by-play with, I think it was the Hilltops, you know, top quality Prairie Football Conference team. And he sounds great. He sounds like he knows football first and foremost. He's been broadcasting as a play-by-play guy for a while. He's got the passion for the Riders. It's a great fit. And he just seems, from everywhere you look, like a genuinely good dude on top of it all. And I think that what they need at this point is somebody who's going to come in and kind of right the ship and put some respect about back out in the rest of the league on the Riders broadcasting crew.
Two things I like about this move. One, you don't have the baggage, and he won't be the social media presence that the previous guy was. I guarantee you he will not be fighting with free agents in the offseason via his X account. Two, they separated the play-by-play from the sports cage, which I understand it worked okay with Roddy. It worked okay with the other guy, I guess. But the problem is when you are the voice of a team and doing a sports talk show where you need to also be breaking news or discussing what's happening, it's very hard to be critical of that team and still be the voice of the team. Like,
yes,
you have to do that sports cage. You have to be honest with the fans, cause they know when you're BSing them, they know that. So it was never a good fit in my mind. It's fine that you have on the same network, you have a sports show and you have the play-by-play. Just having that position as a combined position was always tenuous, as proven by even Roddy's tenure. He got in trouble with the team many a time. Look into his reporting about the Johnny Manziel tryout that wasn't supposed to happen. Yeah. That was a tough line to walk, and it's good that they separated that finally.
And it sounds like Luke Mullender will remain with him as a color commentator.
Continuity, so, like Luke's good. Yeah. I like Luke, so I think a little continuity doesn't hurt. So, who else were they going to put in there? To be honest,
I feel like Luke kind of plays to the guy sitting beside him, and as somebody like Dave Thomas coming in with that that really professional attitude will only do good things for Luke. Luke was fine as a color commentator. I just think he plays off of whoever he's sitting beside, and
he definitely had his in jokes with Roddy, and he definitely had his in jokes with the other guys. So hopefully him and Dave can find that chemistry. So
now, to me, I mean, we've known about this for a while. My question was, who's going to be the host of the pre and post game show? Of course, Daniela Ponticelli going out to Toronto or Ontario anyway, working PWHL and doing the women's worlds in New York
and doing an amazing job.
She's
burning bright, and I'm very happy for her.
Yeah. So a move she obviously had to make. So that left the position open here.
I still can't believe this. Like when this first came through the Piffles chat,
I didn't believe
it. I thought it was crazy. Like when we were talking about it, I was like, nah. And then, so I started asking people I know, and you guys started asking people, you know, and I was like, no, there's no way. But
then the voices got louder and louder. Yeah.
And turns out it was a slam dunk decision. Nobody? No, really?
I'm not even groaning on that one? Not giving you that one.
Nope, wow. Not even a boo or anything. That's how
that one deserves just the silence it received.
Wow. Okay. Well, it's going to be Justin Dunk of Three Down Nation. He's going When I heard that, I did not believe it. Lives out in Ontario. So I had questions. Is he going to move here for 10 games a year, 20 games a year? Is he going to do everything from Regina? Sounds like they're going to bring him in for the 10 home games, do the games at the stadium, which all the home games there. And then the rest of them, he can stay at home and do them out in Ontario, which makes sense to me. I mean, if you're Justin, they're offering you a pretty penny. Yeah. Why wouldn't you do that? Right.
And like I was saying, this blows my mind for a few reasons. One, not a lot of Rider fans like Justin Dunk as a Three Down Nation on how they assume or they infer that Three Down Nation hates the Riders. I'm telling you right now, they use the Riders for click. They love the Riders.
They love the Riders.
I am more surprised that Justin isn't more worried about how other teams' fan bases are now going to turn on him for now joining the dark side.
What intrigues me the most is you've got a guy with no connection to Saskatchewan, no connection to the Riders, in a position that's usually held by somebody who's a Rider fan. It'll be interesting to see how we get kind of a more neutral look to the post-game show, the pre-game show, the round table, all that stuff, with somebody who doesn't have that same attachment that we've all grown up in. That's what we've kind of come to expect from, especially the post-game.
It'll be interesting. I think it's going to be interesting who they put him with, because if they put him with a more passionate group of people, he can then like point guard it. He'll just be the neutral observer, trying to keep things moving on. He'll be the point guard. He's not going to be the rah, rah, rah that Daniela was, that the previous person was. I'm going out of my way to not say his name, just so everyone is very aware.
We've noticed.
What I like about Justin, though, is that he'll challenge people when they call in. He will challenge them on their thoughts. And him being a former U Sports player, quarterback, knows the Canadian football game quite well. He will challenge you on your opinion. He won't tell you you're wrong. He'll want you to bring it to him and bring it. Bring me that opinion. Let's hear it. Why? How come? He'll ask you that when you phone in. And that's what's going to make him a good post-game host.
I can't wait for that first run in between Dunk and Drunk Sheldon.
Assuming he gets back from WrestleMania, Sheldon.
Well, not that Sheldon, another Sheldon.
Oh, the other Sheldon. Oh, okay.
Yeah, the other Sheldon that everyone thinks that is Drunk Sheldon.
So I'm assuming they're probably going to keep Wes Cates in there. Don Hewitt is always good to have around for that as well. Hopefully for the pregame show, Steve's replacement, Jeff Harrahome. Hopefully he gets to stick around for his segment for pregame.
If not, he's got a job here any day.
He can be replaced with Steve anytime you want.
The pay sucks,
yeah. But there you go. Dave Thomas going to be the play-by-play voice of the Riders. Justin Dunk will be the host of the pre- and post-game show. And, of course, Justin Dunk no longer going to be on the Green Zone with Jamie Nye as the CFL insider because of that. So I'm curious to see how they pivot and what they do.
I just want to give Harvard their props for being Petty LaBelle and making sure that they stole the Green Zones. And don't get me wrong, it's a business. I get it. It's a business. But that is just blows my mind that they're spending that much, well, supposedly quite a fair, pretty penny on Justin Dunk just to make sure he doesn't show up on the Green Zone once a week. I respect that. That is respect level petty right there.
Well, when you got Paul Hill money, you can kind of do whatever you want, really.
Hey, He bought a Jesus Sprinkles shirt, so I will say nothing bad about Paul Hill.
He bought four of them. Absolutely. Thank you very much.
And it ended up in his Hall of Plaza of Honor video.
Yeah, that's right. I forgot about that.
I have it on good authority. He absolutely loves that shirt. So, you know, of all the things we've done, those were pretty good ones.
Yeah, it's Plaza of Honor. I mean, hey!
All right, one more thing here in the opening kickoff. And this goes back a couple weeks because we took last week off. Anthony Partapillo, the Riders' chief brand officer, resigned, really. He's not retiring. He's going to go somewhere else. Don't know where. But was with the team for 6 years. Now, I know there's a nice article written about him and the things he's done for the team. Craig Reynolds said that he made the brand bigger. I disagree with that. I don't know if the brand got bigger. I don't think it got smaller by any means. It's still the biggest CFL brand. It's still, outside of the Toronto Maple Leafs and Montreal Canadiens, the biggest brand in Canada. By I don't far. Care that. I mean, if you want to talk about Toronto Blue Jays, no, the Blue Jays
aren't. Blue Jays and Raptors might be up there just because they're the only major league team at that level. But
you don't see their stuff down.
Wear a Rider jersey in Vegas. You wear one in Mexico. People know where you're from.
Yeah. The brand itself has kind of, and this goes back to Jim Hopson, has deteriorated over the last 10 years, even when the team was the first place team that they were in 2019. I don't know Anthony personally. I've never met him. He sat in front of me at a game once. But I don't even know if this is a position that needs to be held, because he came over here from Toronto. And when we talk about marketing and the brand, Saskatchewan's so different than everywhere else. Not saying what he did was wrong, but it didn't necessarily connect with the people of Saskatchewan, in my opinion. So I don't know if they're even going to replace this role, but if they do, I hope it's a little bit more going back to the community aspect of things, making it a community brand again, because that's when the money starts coming in from fans who will throw their money at the $15 Rider Kleenex box. Do they even need to replace his position? I don't think they do. I think if the team has enough creative minds already on staff, I probably wouldn't even bother, to be honest.
Well, first, I volunteer as tribute. I would gladly take that position. That seems to be right in my wheelhouse. I would love it. But no, seriously, actually, Anthony, one thing I got him in on his resume, he was in charge of the Blue Jays going back to the blue, their current look. That was him getting away from those ugly gray and black things. And so, Anthony, thank you. Thank you very much. As for his work with the Riders, no, you're correct. Like, did the brand get bigger? No, it became more corporate. It definitely became more corporate. It did not feel like a community swell, like you said. They went more focus groups. Believe me, I saw the emails. They went more surveys. They were trying to figure out how to crack that nut, when at the end of the day, winning solves everything. And I'm still waiting for them to roll out that logo that they trademarked with those midnight green jerseys. Cause come on, those things were rolled out like 3 years ago now to a focus group, and they still haven't made it out to the field yet. So
you mentioned he came from Toronto, and Toronto is a very different setup. They're very much a corporate environment. You look at the Maple Leafs, you look at the Raptors, you look at the Blue Jays. It's all about getting those corporate dollars into the team, into the box seats, and into those prime seats at the stadium. That doesn't work here. And you said it right. That's not the way you build the Saskatchewan Rough Riders brand. I'm not at all a fan. And I'm not dancing on his corporate grave. He chose to leave on his own. I don't approve of his direction that he took this brand and this team in over the past 10 years. He did have a tough act to follow with the Jim Hopson era and with a whole different man in charge. But it just feels like we went from the Saskatchewan Rough Riders to the PressBox Rough Riders. And it was all about what was going to build the sponsor dollars and the, you know, the shiny new stadium and how you fill those big box seats at the top, as opposed to how you get back in touch with the everyday fan that the CFL thrives on.
He didn't start till after the 2013 Grey Cup. There's no way you can convince me this brand got bigger after the biggest game in Rider history.
Not at all. Like, if anything, it's gone in the opposite direction.
Like, yeah, maybe the corporate dollars got bigger, but the fans are leaving. So,
like, now, hopefully the team can see both sides of it, because you do need the corporate dollars, especially when fans aren't showing up to games and you're not selling out anymore. You need to have that corporate sponsorship, and you need to have that anyway, right?
Well, corporate sponsorship helps sell a Thursday night game in the middle of the season last year.
Yeah, but you got to find that way to bring fans back, out of town fans back. Like, I get it. Price of coming here and staying a night, it's just not feasible to do 10 times a year for, you know, a family of four anymore. Like, it's just economically, it's so tough to do, right? So the organization needs to find its sweet spot again, and they can learn from the corporate stuff, but scale back on certain things and do that whole community feel again to make you feel like you're a Rider fan. And I think just pro sports in general, I've said this before on their show, that it's almost an elitist group now. To be able to go to a game, to be a fan, to buy a jersey, you need to have $200. That's ridiculous to me. That's ridiculous. That's before you even put a name on it. And that's in all the sports. You should be able to buy something of a team for $5. A bag of all Dresslers. You should be able to walk into a store and be able to support your team. I think it's that simple, as kind of lame as that sounds. But if some people can only support the team by buying an all Dressler bag of chips, good. They need that. And it helps you feel like you're part of the fan base. Where now, you can't, unless you can spend $55 on a hat, which is $40 for every other team.
I was going to say, is that before or after the rider tax?
That's after the rider tax. So teams just got to find their own little way to come back to the whole the community feel. So hopefully they can take what they learned from him and use that both for the good and for recreating the good.
But it seems like they have been listening, because they have been doing the family pricing. They have been doing like $5 menu items at every kiosk, but they still have work to do. But it's good. They're finally realizing that they're starting to price themselves out of the market. And once again, we're going back into listen to your fans. They will get you through this. But once again, winning solves everything. So this team needs to win.
And they have to win after Labor Day.
Yes.
They need to be more specific on the time frame.
It's like don't wear white after Labor Day, but win games. That's all you have to remember.
Could be like the Dallas Cowboys and wear white only at home, but then
don't get me started on the Cowboys. Choose to not wear white at home. Miscolored.
Just only wear green
uniforms.
Yeah. All right, well, that's the opening kickoff presented by Kathy Festian of Royal LePage Regina Realty. Jumping to our Churchill Brewing Company odds and end zones. A couple signings we haven't got to yet. First one we're going to talk about is Sam Emelis, receiver, star receiver, signed a one-year extension through 2025. So he'll be here for the next 2 years, this year and next. Steve, if you're watching, is clearly happy about that.
Absolutely great signing.
I mean, the guy had NFL offers or looks in this offseason. Still, I'm assuming he's going to have another good year here in 2024. Still probably get those looks. But if it doesn't materialize down south, then we know we have him for next year as well. So it actually kind of, it aligns with Keen Schaefer Baker's contract as well too. So you have your Canadian stud receivers locked up for a couple of years. And to me, that's a big, big deal because MLS was incredible last year. And I expect it again this year.
He was not only incredible last year, he's still young and going to continue to get better. And I realize, like you said, he can try for the NFL again in the offseason, and he absolutely should. It's just nice to know that if he's playing in the CFL in 2025, it's back in Saskatchewan. That's great move by O'Day. I'm sure Corey Mace took one look at his tape and went, yeah, let's sign him for as long as he's willing to sign, if we could please. And I don't think that deal took very long to put through. It was, here's a check. How much do you want?
Oh, I'm just excited because you got MLS, KSB, Picton, and when we get Chase Claypool, we'll have the entire Canadian Air Force 2.0.
Wearing number 34, right?
Oh, the many people were so mad at AI. This is the reason why AI sucks, people.
Chase Claypool isn't coming to, he's actually on the Riders negotiation list now. But he did have a visit with the Seattle Seahawks, actually. So he'll still get NFL offers. I can actually see him in the CFL at some point because I don't think that the drive is there for him in the NFL anymore. And once multiple coaches get a whiff of that, you're pretty much done. So,
but if you don't have the drive to do it in the NFL for millions, how the heck are you going to have the drive to do it for, you know, that rookie contract?
Because it's love of the game, Steve, and Saskatchewan's kind of his home.
But if, oh my God,
his mom was here once. What are you talking about?
Yeah, you know, Hudson Bay, you know.
He's as much a Saskatchewan resident as Alex Singleton is a Canadian.
But it's not even the fact that if he doesn't have the drive, it's the perception that he doesn't have the drive. Unfortunately, at that one, once you are painted with a certain brush, it's very hard to get off. And unfortunately, you have to go away. Like the old wrestling territories, go away, learn a new hold, and come back. Finish the story. Oh, Chase Claypool is going to finish the story.
Just knows too many arm bars. Needs some more moves.
Arm bar.
The greatest promo of all time. Anyway, Canadian receiver Sam Amelis locked up for another year. What he said in his, he did a Zoom for the media, that the team that they're putting together is going to make us fans proud. Trevor Harris also spoke to media a couple days before that. Says he loves the offense, but he wants the fans to be proud to wear their green again. Seems like a theme right now with these players. And we've heard it from Corey Mace. This is going to be a team that you're going to be proud of. You're going to want.
Are they bringing back the Rider Pride song?
I hope so.
Are they bringing back the Rider Pride song?
They should. But
Rider Pride.
But Trevor Harris is right. You should be proud to wear your green again. We should be telling everybody on the street that it's game day. You should be able to walk up and go to a grocery store at 9 in the morning on game day and know it's game day. The way that it was in the Jim Hopson era. You should know that. Just by going anywhere. Go downtown at lunch. Everybody on the Friday wearing the green in the season. You should be proud to wear the Rider green everywhere. And over the last few years, we haven't really felt that way as a whole, as a fan base. Need to get back to that. So I think this is a theme that is coming down from the top. And I think it goes a little bit higher than Corey Mace as well, too. I think Mace is going to be the one that really drives that into the players. And that's how you're going to see them play this year. I think it comes up from J.O. And I think it comes up from Craig Reynolds. It's time to be proud of this team again. And I'm hearing that a lot from these players. And I love that. I think that's the way it should be.
Agreed. Like I said, like when the team is doing well, the pride is there. But it's, as we kind of discussed in the preamble before the show, it's going to depend on the health of one man, and that is Trevor Harris.
Yep.
Because, like I said, before I was going through the roster, and I'm like, I really like the way this roster is built. Like, we've got speed, we've got strength, we got deep threats now, we've got a running back that's an absolute beast. We've got an offensive line that seems to be depth all the way across the front.
I love what J.O.'s done this offseason.
Like, our defense is great. We've got defensive backs for days, so I'm certain Mace has a plan for that. It's just, it is a good roster. It's a playoff roster. It is going to turn some heads if they can get going all on the same page. But once again, it is going to depend on the health of Trevor Harris.
Well, you look back at last year, Trevor Harris gets hurt. You can't tell me we don't win at least one more game post Labor Day with Trevor Harris under center. And we have improved almost across the board on this roster from that team. I look at this roster and there's going to be players cut from this team that other teams are going to want, which is not something I would have said last year, 2 years ago, because there's actual quality and depth straight across the board, assuming we can find a left tackle, but that's been a search for long enough. It's time.
We have multiple in on the roster now.
Yep. Yeah, they've actually signed legitimate tackles.
Good segue there, Steve, because the Riders also signed another O lineman this past week, Sedarius Hutcherson. Was a guard, did play left tackle as well too. He's going to get a shot at left tackle like everybody else. And last year they had one true left tackle come in. Gerald Hawkins didn't show up. When he came in, he wasn't ready to go. He was penned in as the starter, got hurt immediately, and that was their entire plan. This year, it's very different. Jonathan Hubbard's coming in. Sedarius Hutcherson, I don't have the roster in front of me, do I? But there are a ton of guys. The other ones are Trevor Reed is a true left tackle. They're bringing back Jordan Tucker, who's a right tackle, but there are guys that have played left tackle. They're going to get this right. So I love that they're really putting a focus on nailing down that left tackle spot, because the other four positions are already spoken for. Left tackle might even be spoken for with Phillip Blake. So there are
plans. The other four are spoken for like five guys.
Yeah.
Like, so I don't know what they're going to do. Like, they've got an abundance of offensive linemen this year. Someone's got to get cut. And we got young guys that are ready to take the next step. I don't envy this coaching staff in the training camp.
Now, with training camp, we are 1 month away from rookie camp. Who are you guys looking forward to seeing in green and white? And Steve, you could say Geronimo Allison. He's not going to make it to rookie camp. So if you had to pick a guy new to the CFL, who are you most looking forward to seeing?
Jack Cohn. The quarterback out of Notre Dame. I'm very curious on how our four remaining quarterbacks from last year are going to do, because you need Mason to take the next step. You need Pipkin is always going to be third string, but like, are we going to actually get Patterson or Fine to step up to that second spot? Because last year, all four quarterbacks looked really good in that preseason game.
Yes.
And then Fine had to make way for Dalagala. Patterson got banged up. They had to bring in Pipkin for short yardage because it was such a gong show. So can Cohn find his way and displace one of those guys? Because he's going to have to, because one of them is not going to be making the practice roster.
No.
But can he crack the actual roster and get them to bring someone in for the practice roster?
For me, I'm looking more at the receiver side of the ball. And that's always the place I look come training camp. It's why I had a Dressler jersey first. Let's not talk about the Keith Tostin running back era. I'm going to avoid the running backs from now on. But they brought in a lot of youth there. I'm looking at the roster now. Joshua Bunton, Daz Newsome, Jake Parker. What was the other one I saw? Keyshawn Johnson.
Not that Keyshawn Johnson, the other Keyshawn Johnson.
If he's even half as good as the other Keyshawn Johnson, I'll be thrilled. Like, it seems like they're, I mean, across the board, they're clearly not satisfied with the roster as it was last year, but they're bringing in a lot of guys to fill those receiver holes with not really many spots open. So I'm curious who really shines and takes that Terrence Nunn Award at training camp as the standout. I just hope they do better once the lights come on.
Not going to lie, I love rookie signing numbers before training camp. You got Dante Myers, Jake Parker, and Joshua Bunton all wearing numbers in the 70s. That cracks me up as receivers.
I wrote an article on PifflesPodcast.com. The top five players I'm looking forward to seeing in training camp. Greg, you took my guy, Jack Cohn, the quarterback number one. We talked about Jonathan Hubbard, offensive lineman, left tackle. Keyshawn Johnson was on there. Holton Hill, I put on there. He's not going to make it to rookie camp. He's going to go straight to main camp. He's defensive back, played 4 years for the Minnesota Vikings, started quite a few games in the NFL, and you don't do that without some serious talent. He was the guy that had the scouting report that reminded us of Nick Marshall. And if we get prime Nick Marshall with the want to every single play, we have the best defensive back in the league right there. Because in his prime, Nick Marshall was the best cornerback in the CFL, and it was not particularly close.
Yeah, no one threw at him. That's how you knew
everybody figured out.
No one threw at him.
Yeah, until you could exploit him by doing a straight go pattern. Then it was kind of who knows from there. And my five, I copped out. I'm sorry, guys. I picked Roman Lee Harrison, Elijah Ponder, Braden Thomas, RJ McIntosh, whole bunch of guys on the defensive line to be a defensive end, outside linebackers, probably in college. The Riders are probably going to run quite a big rotation on the defensive line again this year. Micah Johnson, Lanier, probably in the middle. He'll play on the outside a little bit too, I bet. Malik Kearney, probably penciled in as one of the starters at defensive end coming over from Hamilton. That leaves the defensive end position open. So the team has never really had a problem finding pass rushers. They made Terrell Jureniak a star. Fred Perry came out of nowhere and was a star. Still have his jersey somewhere, actually. Fred Perry, number 41. That was my guy.
Now you can wear for KD Davis.
Yeah. But the Riders have never had a problem finding defensive ends. I'm looking forward to seeing who can step up and take that spot. But 1 month away from rookie camps, we were thinking about talking about the draft and what the team needs a little bit coming up. We'll do that next week or week after. There is one thing I want to get to before we go here. And it's your favorite player and mine, not Steve's, that's Chris Streveler. But Andrew Harris, big, big popular player here in Saskatchewan. Andrew Harris, going to retire as a Blue Bomber. Said that his failed drug test took a toll on him, but it doesn't anymore. Now, I'm not going to sit here and talk about his mental health and how that did take a toll on him. That would be very unfair of me to do. Dude, you cheated and got caught. Okay. There's no sympathy for you there, especially when you said, I'm going to prove that I didn't do it. And we're still waiting for that years later. Own up to it. You got caught cheating. It happens. Marcus Thigpen did it. It happens. I have no sympathy for him in that sense. Yeah, I have no sympathy for Andrew Harris in that sense, and that he's trying to make this whole woe is me thing. I'm not buying it. I'm sorry.
Trying not to get blocked by the Bombers again. no, you're right. if he actually had the proof, it would have been at that press conference that day when he looked all sad and looking down at the ground. And if he had the proof, he would have shown it and the appeal would have worked and he could have moved on and rubbed it all in our faces. He didn't do it. So that right there tells me all I need to know. And that said, I kind of get it. Football's a hard game. His age does not stop. He was an every down back, took a ton of beating, and steroids don't give you bigger muscles. They help you recover. That's all they do. So you can keep on working out. So he took what he had to do to keep playing at the level he was expected to play at. So I don't blame him for that, but don't try to say that you don't care anymore because it took a toll on you. That's fine. I'm certain people talking crap about you as you block them and have the team block them on Twitter probably didn't feel good. I get it. I understand. I've been there. People block me too. Yeah, I know. I don't know. I
can't think of one reason why.
I can't think of a reason why. Other than I can think of a firebrand that tells it how it is. What's that?
I said I can think of multiple. That's the problem.
But the fact remains, you got caught. At least use – and the worst part is this. He didn't even come up with an excuse. He just said, I'll prove it. And he never did. Like, the wildest – drug failing excuse I've heard was this past year in curling where the woman said that it was due to exchange of bodily fluids. Take that how you want.
Yeah.
So, hey, he could use that one. That would have been amazing.
If you're going to fail a drug test, saying it's because I got laid sounds like a pretty good reason to fail a blood test or a drug test.
Mental
health is a tough thing, and I advocate for anybody who goes through mental health struggles, and I hope, you know, what he went through, he's past it. Good for him. That's what you want to hear. Mm-hmm. I want to take the positive from that part. You know, he went through whatever it was, whatever the reason he went through those difficulties, he came out of it on the other side. Thrilled for him. He's retiring as a Bomber, as he should. And on the flip side, I'm with you on the whole drug test situation. It's the crickets that came after. And it wasn't, we knew we'd have to wait a couple of weeks for whatever his proof was, but it was everything after it. It's been years now, and there's never been another word about it. Even when asked about it, there's nothing. It's very interesting to look back at that press conference and go, I wonder, you know, where the truth lies in there and where he intended to get this proof from. And there was never any details on it. It was just the typical tainted supply that we hear from every athlete that fails a blood test that's not Breann Harris.
Yeah. And that's where I have my issue is I personally don't care if you take steroids. I don't care if you want to take supplements, tainted supplements. I really don't care. You get caught, you get caught, but own up to it. Just take the onus onto yourself here. Take the responsibility. Even if you truly believe that you did nothing wrong and you went through the steps and said, you went to the league and said, is this something I can take? Is this something I can take? And you go through the ingredients and blah, blah, blah. And they say, yes. Like that, you know what you're putting in your body. If you're a professional athlete and you know that there's drug testing, which there is in every single league, in every single sport, you know what you're putting in your body.
I will never forget Silken Lahman failing a drug test, doing the press conference, holding two different packages of Sudafed, going, this one is legal, this one is not. I accidentally took one of this one. Like, I will never forget that press conference as long as I live. Because that's when I first started understanding, like, it's very hard for these athletes at that time to know what's going in and out of their body. These teams have nutritionists. They have trainers. They know, they have contracts with supplement companies. Like, take what is given to you, not buddy's premix at in the gym you met. It's that simple.
Yeah. Anyway, Steve, like you said, retiring as a Bomber, as he should. He's a four-time Grey Cup champion. He's a Hall of Famer. He's one of the greatest players we've ever seen in the CFL. Like, I mean,
I want to go back to my biggest problem about that entire year is when he won the most outstanding Canadian and the MOP of the Grey Cup, and it was like vindication. No, you weren't vindicated. You just won two awards after getting caught as a cheater. That doesn't make it clear your drug test. It's not. It doesn't just clean it out because you won two awards. It's okay. I feel better now.
You got it all out. You good?
Is it Festivus you already?
Suck. Okay, there. I'm done.
You got more of it out than Andrew Harris did. maybe we should just leave it at that. but I wanted to bring that up because, I mean, it's also the Bombers. So anytime we can get a dig in on the Bombers, we're going to do it here on the Piffles podcast. Mm-hmm. So
it's our responsibility, really.
That's what we're here to do.
But we're going to take we're going to take people to Winnipeg.
Yeah, we are actually. Banjo Bowl bus, $325. Ride there and back from Regina. We'll pick you up on the highway too. You have to run really fast and time your jump just perfect, but we'll pick you up on the highway anywhere in between on the number one. We'll stop in Brandon for breakfast. We'll have giveaways on the way there. We'll have some refreshments on board. Hotel for the night. We'll take you to the game, to the hotel after. Staying in Polo Park. There's tons of bars, restaurants, and everything nearby. So it's going to be a great time. If you want to go to the Banjo Bowl for an extremely, extremely good price, let us know. Shoot us a DM on social media, on Facebook, X. Send us an email, piffles podcast@gmail.com. Very affordable.
20 spots left.
Yeah.
We're not half sold.
Not too many spots left. So it's so much fun. I look forward to it every single year. I have so much fun. And Ferlin's coming this year again.
I was gonna say, and we're gonna get piss poor.
Talked him into doing it. So if Ferlin's going, there's gonna be an attempt at a cartwheel. I can promise you that.
And if I can make one suggestion based on experience with Ferlin, bring a Tupperware container so you can take home a bucket of Red Barn chicken. Greatest idea I have ever seen a human being make in my life.
I was not expecting that
is Mooseman innovation right there.
Yeah, I was not expecting that last year when he says I'm bringing back 50 pieces of chicken, and then you go to Red Barn and he literally brings in a big giant Tupperware container. And I was like, oh my god. He goes, well, how else am I gonna get it home? Good point.
Touché.
Yeah.
Every single person on that bus was jealous of Ferlin. I don't know if that'll ever happen again. Because I'm bringing Tupperware this year.
Yep.
All these Tupperwares coming out of Red Barn. I can't wait.
Just a marching band of Tupperware containers walking into the Red Barn.
Oh, those Tupperware up, cook. Can I get a two-piece and a biscuit and a bucket of 20?
50 more pieces to go, please. Anyway, Banjo Bowl. We're heading out there. If you want to join the fun, join the party, let us know. We'd love to have you on board and join us on the way to Winnipeg. We're almost up to the draft, so we'll talk Canadian draft coming up over the next couple of weeks, a month away from training camps, and it's here, guys. The season
we're
is
in the
just
home stretch.
About here.
We're just right around the corner. I cannot wait.
Yep. So we'll leave it here. Piffles podcast, of course, brought to you by our great friends at Dairy Queen on Elphinstone Street and Sass Drive in Regina. Of course, special thanks always goes out to Kathy Festchen of Roy LePage Regina Realty and Churchill Brewing Company for their support making this show possible. Thank you, Sastel Max, watching on YouTube, wherever you listen to your favorite podcast. We appreciate it. Normally, we leave you with Ghost Behind Your Mind by Tyler Gilbert, but I think it's only fitting that this week, the final words go to Mr. Jim Hobson. Rest easy, Mr. Hobson. Thank you for absolutely everything that you did for this organization. We'll miss you.
Well, first of all, thank you. I love their fans and interacting with them, and they still treat me very, very well. But I'd also like to say, as I deal with this cancer thing, you know, if you suspect something's wrong, whether it's blood in your stool or your bathroom habits have changed or you got a lump, get checked. If I had gone in 6 months, maybe, but a year earlier for sure, I probably wouldn't be sitting here having this conversation. So please do that. It's important to me. And also, if you do get diagnosed at some point, have great confidence in the cancer treatment we have here in the province. I cannot say enough about the Alcoa Clinic at the Passoa and the kind of treatment I've had, the kind of support and so on. And it's continuing now, even with no treatment. I get an eligible nurse in care once a week. She was up this morning to check and so on. So, yeah, just, you know, take care of yourself.